CTV.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, first things first, here's some good news for you. We have a conference that's being planned as I speak for Memorial Day weekend. This is tentative in Virginia. Hopefully, we're not here. God help us if this conference actually comes off, you know. But hey, in case we're still here, let's get together. We need it. The Pirate is planning this. Also, Greg Davis. Now, what we want you to do, and do it right now, put this video on pause, and text Greg Davis if you think you're kind of pretty sure you want to come to the conference so they can figure out how many people are going to be there. Nobody's holding you to it. It's in a suburb of Richmond. Suburb of Richmond. And the suburb is called, are you ready for this? I didn't make this up. Short Pump. Short Pump, Virginia. Yes, I said Short Pump, Virginia. But for the sake of practicality, we're going to call it Richmond. Richmond, Virginia. Whatever weekend that is, the end of May, 29th, 30, whatever. Memorial Day weekend, that way you get a Monday, to travel back so you don't have to, so you can kind of have a longer weekend there. So text Greg Davis at unirec@protonmail.com. Unirec, that's short for Universal Reconciliation. I'm going to put it down here. unirec@protonmail.com. That's Greg Davis. Text him right now. Let him know. Yeah. If we're still here, if the snatching away hasn't happened yet, I definitely want to be there. Greg has said that he will not pray for the Lord to delay the snatching away until the conference can be held. So that's good. All right. This is the last part, I hope, I think, of the revelation of my thoughts on Babylon. Now, we know Babylon is future. This is not a preterist scheme where all the events of Revelation happened in 70 AD. That is absolutely absurd because contemporaneously with the destruction of Babylon, we have the mark of the beast. We have the mark on the forehand and the head. No one can buy or sell. I mean, obviously, this stuff has not happened in the past. And certainly, we have not experienced a 1,000-year kingdom. Otherwise, it would have gone from the year 70 to 1,000. And that would have been the year 1070. And at that point, the new heavens and a new earth would have come. So we are now in, according to the preterists, we're now in the new heavens and a new earth where death is no more. God is dwelling with humanity. A new Jerusalem comes out of heaven. Either I need to clean my windows. I'm looking out the window right now. I don't see it. I don't see the new heavens and the new earth. It sure as hell feels like I'm on the old earth, and I am. So this is ridiculous. So the destruction of Babylon that we're reading about in Revelation 18 is future. Now, near future. Now, Revelation 18 speaks of the commercial Babylon, whereas Revelation 17 spoke of the spiritual Babylon. That is the anti-spiritual Babylon. That is the apostate Babylon associated with the wild beast and the prostitute. All right, so we seem to have difficulties in Revelation 18 as far as the merchants of the earth mourning over Babylon. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the solution for you, as you would hope and as you would expect. Revelation 18:9. And the kings of the earth who commit prostitution and indulge with her. This whole thing is about indulgence. Babylon will be a literal stronghold, but it will also represent all the indulgence, all the luxury, the lust for luxury, and the pride of life that has consumed humanity apart from God since there was a humanity. And the kings of the earth who commit prostitution and indulge with her will be lamenting and grieving over her whenever they may be observing the smoke of her conflagration. Why? Because they're merchants. Now, if you take the word merchant and substitute a synonym for it, a synonym would be retailers. These are retailers. We're looking at international trade here. And we're looking at the thing that makes the world go around, which is stuff, commodities. So here we go. And the retailers of the earth, that's me there, but merchants, same thing, are lamenting and mourning, for no one is buying their cargo any longer. I want to look at this word cargo. It's the Greek word gamos here. The English element is replete. That is everything, replete. It's loaded. Additionally, you may want to know, Martin, what's the difference between freight and cargo? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. I'm prepared for this. Freight is the transporting of products or goods via truck, van, or train. You get that? There will be a quiz afterwards. Truck, van, or train. Cargo. And by the way, this, our word cargo, comes from the Spanish cargar, meaning to load. To load. Cargo is goods moved overseas, that is internationally, via, listen to this, via ship, ocean carriers, or airplanes. But see, they don't mention airplanes in Revelation. How could they? And I'm going to get into that when we get into the various things that are mourned here. Why doesn't it mention airplanes? It just mentions cargo. But cargo is international stuff traded between countries via ocean liner ships. And in the context here, it's ships, because this was written in the era where there were not any airplanes yet. No UPS cargo planes. No. Not yet. On we go. No one's buying their cargo. No one's buying the stuff that they trade internationally. And now, in verse 12 of Revelation 18, the cargo is listed. Cargo of gold and of silver and of precious stones and of pearls. Now, before going on, I'm going to comment here. You'll see. Wait for it. Here it comes. On why these precious commodities are listed first. In the era of the end, the final days of Millennium 6, which are not too far away from where we stand here, paper money is going to be worthless. But there are precious items that are valuable of themselves, and they don't depreciate. They only appreciate, especially as real money, or what do you call it, paper money, coins, whatever. They're going to go by the wayside. So we have gold, silver, precious stones, pearls. Gold and silver. This is one reason I think that the Babylon of the future will be underground, to protect these items. These items are the only ones in the list that transcend time. What follows is going to be a list of ancient luxuries. Okay, but we don't start with those. We start with gold, silver, precious stones, pearls. Could very well be that there will be a stash of these things in Babylon, because in that day, these will be the only things that will be worth anything. Now, here we go. And of cambric, and of purple, and of silk, and of scarlet, including also every kind of citron wood, every ivory utensil, every utensil of most valuable wood, and of copper, and of iron, and of marble, including also cinnamon and ginger, and Marianne, oh no, I'm sorry, I added that, and incenses, and attar, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and flour, and grain, and beasts, and sheep, and also made up of horses, and of coaches, and of bodies, including also human souls. What is interesting is this passage starts with timeless valuable commodities, i.e. gold, silver, and precious stones. And it ends with something that is also tragically timeless, that is a trade of human souls. We know that there is a hideous trade now among the elite of this world in human souls. I don't want to use the terms, but you know what I'm talking about. Basically slavery. And they're trading now in human souls. Interesting that some of these things have a timeless application. For instance, coaches. Coaches, in the Concordant version, is described as a four-wheeled vehicle. A four-wheeled vehicle. The KJV has chariot. Concordant has coaches. It's from the Greek word rede. Well, that's kind of interesting because we have things today called horseless carriages, also known as cars, automobiles. But I'm not even going to push that because it's irrelevant. I just thought it was interesting. I thought I would mention it. So all these ancient luxuries, well, let me say this first. All these things are not necessities, they're luxuries. And this is the whole thing with Babylon. You have to remember, I told you that Babylon goes way back. And the city that is future will be paid in judgment for all the sins concerning luxury and greed of the past. So it's all coming upon all the past sins concerning avarice and hedonism are coming upon this city. We already went through that. Therefore, every commodity that ever went through Babylon, past and future, comes into play. The ancient commodities as well as the modern commodities. But I ask you this, honestly, what do you want this to say? I mean, we know this is future, but what do you want it to say? I mean, it would be fascinating if Revelation 18, 12 through 13 said this. The merchants of the earth are lamenting, mourning over her, for no one is buying their cargo, their international trade stuffs. Oh, by the way, before I get into that, after the precious stones, it talks about cambric, purple, silk, and scarlet. Did you know that the apparel industry is the fourth largest industry in the entire world? So, I mean, what was the first commodity ever in the history of humankind? Anybody? Apparel. Yes, God made clothes for the first couple. And ever since then, it's been very popular to buy clothes. So this is also timeless, even though the fabrics might not be timeless. Some fabrics obviously listed here refer back to ancient fabrics, except for cambric. Cambric is a fine woven linen that today is made of cotton. Anyway, listen to this. In 2019, global retail sales of apparel and footwear reached $1.9 trillion. And we're expected to rise to above $3 trillion by 2030. Oh, the fashion industry is huge, my friends. Continues to have positive growth, especially in emerging markets within the Asia, Pacific, and European regions. So, there you go. I can see an association here between ancient luxuries and modern luxuries. Nikes are a modern luxury, especially when they go for like $150, $200. What? Who buys this shit? Well, people who want the name brands. Ladies want the Coach purses. They want the Tory Burch sandals. And the kids want the Jordans. Okay. But going back to these other things. In between the human cargo and the gold, silver, and precious stones, which are perfect transferences from ancient to today. You can say the same thing. These things are timeless. Timeless trade. Timeless trading. Unfortunately, human souls is included there, but also gold, silver, and precious stones. But as for these other things, I mean, what was John supposed to say? Well, he could only say what the Holy Spirit said. But can you imagine the Holy Spirit saying this? No one is buying their cargo any longer. Their cargo of Apple computers, of Nike stock, of Bitcoin, cell phones, 5G towers, motion picture studios. Gone. Gone is the yearning for recording artists, for illicit ties to Ukraine, for illegal insider investments. Nobody wants our Ferraris anymore, our Bugattis, our Jaguars. Nobody wants our Boeing 747s, our Gulfstream 6700s, or our Lursen yachts. Lursen, that's right, number one luxury yacht in the world from Germany. Do you want John to be talking about Apple computers and 5G towers and Ferraris and Bugattis and Jaguars? I do. I think it would be fun if John said that. But he can't say it because this letter was read by ancient readers as well as we modern readers. Gulfstream 6700s. Yeah, that's the number one in the Gulfstream line private jets. Yeah. All that will be included in the cargo, is included in the cargo, including the four-wheel carriages, also known as cars. It's all included. But as I said, these other items that are admittedly ancient luxuries are included because the scope of Babylon goes back to the city that was the world capital three times of three world kingdoms, the three world empires, the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire. And 14, verse 14 of Revelation 18 gives us another clue. Follow me here. And the fruition of your yearning soul passed away from you. This is timeless. The yearning soul, that is timeless. The people of old, they yearned for this stuff. Cinnamon, ginger, incense, attar, frankincense. Well, we still have wine and oil, don't we? Flour, grain. Okay, that's food. That has some timeless qualities there as well. And really, who doesn't want silk? I don't know about scarlet. Cinnamon? Hell yeah. One of the greatest breakfasts I had as a kid, my mom would pop in some toast and we'd put the butter and the cinnamon sugar. Oh, you got to add a lot of sugar to the cinnamon. I think it was like 10 parts sugar, 1 part cinnamon. But anyway. A valuable commodity indeed. But I'm not going to claim that in the future city of Babylon, the near future city of Babylon, what I believe to be the underground city of Babylon, I'm not going to tell you there's going to be sheep and horses in there. I'm not going to tell you that. This isn't Noah's Ark. I mean, somebody could say, what about racehorses, Martin? They're very valuable, especially when the Kentucky Derby comes up. Yeah, or the Preakness Stakes. Yeah, I know. But I'm not going to push that. I'm just going to say that this list of luxuries includes the list of luxuries of all time because the end time Babylon is representational of all the Babylons, all the foregoing Babylons. It's the same freaking GPS location. You understand it? The same GPS location. The same place where Nebuchadnezzar's marvels, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the same place where that stood is going to be this city. And as I told you, a city can be underground. Yes, there are underground cities. Look it up. And they said, woe, woe, the great city clothed in cambric and purple and scarlet, gilded with gold and precious stones and pearl in 1 hour. Was desolated so much riches. That's timeless. And every navigator and everyone who was sailing at the place or sailing over the place in a 747 and the mariners, whoever are working on the sea, stand afar off. So apparently this is chiefly merchants of the sea. Cargo ships. We're talking cargo ships. Cargo ships are the same. They don't look the same. An ancient cargo ship doesn't look like a modern cargo ship. You know what they look like. They're the ones that are stranded off the San Francisco coast out there. Cargo ships, you know, big cargo containers. There hasn't been much progress made, if you ask me, in cargo containers. You got big metal boxes. Ooh, this is the 21st century. We got big metal boxes. What did you have in the ancient days? Oh, big wooden boxes. Well, we're far superior to you. We put big metal boxes on a boat. Wow, they put big wooden boxes on a boat. It's all cargo. It's international trade. That's what we're looking at here. So verse 14, in the fruition of your yearning soul passed away from you. All that is sumptuous and splendid. See, these are luxuries, not necessities. All that is sumptuous and splendid perished from you, and they will be finding them no longer under any circumstances. 15, the merchants of these things. See, it's all about stuff. Stuff is another word for things. Who are rich through her will be standing afar off because of the fear of her torment, lamenting and mourning. Yeah, there's going to be smoke, baby. There's going to be lots of smoke. God's going to blow it up. He's not going to use dynamite. He's not going to hire a demolition company. He's going to do it himself with supernatural blow-up material. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be awesome. We're going to be looking down on it because we're not going to be here when this stuff happens. And what do they say? Well, they're lamenting, they're mourning because their whole livelihood, just like people who jumped out of the windows during the stock market crash of 1929. The beginning of the Great Depression here in the United States, which had ramifications throughout the world. People jumped out the windows of tall buildings. However tall they were in 1929, they went to the top floor, pitched themselves out. Because their whole life was stuff. Their whole life was merchandise. Their whole life was interstate commerce. Their whole life was the stock market. And when that went away, they went away. Bye-bye. Fall down, go boom. Don't get up. Whoa, whoa, the great city, clothed in cambric, scarlet, purple, goes in 1 hour, desolated, so much riches. And every navigator, okay, I just did that. And observing the smoke of her conflagration, they cried, saying, is there any like this great city? Speaking of all the Babylons. And they cast soil on their heads and cried, lamenting and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, by which all who have ships on the sea are rich as a result of its preciousness, for in 1 hour it was desolated. Oh, there's another word I wanted to bring up here in verse 10. I should probably end with this. Well, no, I'm gonna quickly get through chapter 18. And the merchants, I'm going back to verse 10. They're standing afar off because of the fear of her torment, Babylon's torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city. I make a case that this word strong speaks of fortified. A strong city. It's just a strange way to describe a city. You might say a powerful city, a great city, and they do say great later on here, but a strong city. This sounds like an underground city to me. It's fortified with concrete, steel, lots of rebar. Strong city. That's just a strange word. The strong city. I think it kind of suggests what I've been suggesting to you. But these guys are mourning. However, verse 20, make merry over her, O heaven, and ye saints and apostles and prophets and internet YouTube broadcasters of the 21st century, seeing that God judges by passing your sentence upon her. Well, our sentence was passed upon Christ. But the saints of that day who are martyred in that day, Babylon's going to be destroyed, not them. Well, they're destroyed in a way. Never mind. That's a sad topic. And one strong messenger lifts a stone as large as a millstone, casts it into the sea, saying that thus Babylon, the great city, will be hurled down and nevermore be found in it. And the sound of lyre singers and entertainers. Oh, entertainers. The music industry, movie industry. And of flautists and trumpeters. See, there's the Kentucky Derby right there. Should be heard in you nevermore, and of the artificers of every trade may be found in you nevermore, and the sound of millstones should be heard in you nevermore, and the light of a lamp may be appearing in you nevermore. Sounds like Edgar Allan Poe. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride should be heard in you nevermore, for you merchants were the magnates of the earth. For by your enchantment all nations were deceived. They thought that life was in stuff. They thought that stuff was life and life was stuff. Little did they know. Spiritual things were the greatest commodity. And where we're standing now, spiritual things are the greatest commodity. Paul says that devoutness is great capital. Says that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Devoutness is great capital. If you're devout, that is, if you revere God, the true God, then you have more wealth than Jeff Bezos and those other weirdos who will be jumping off buildings. No, they're the ones that are going to be throwing dirt up going, oh no, Babylon the Great. There are more computers. There goes our Bitcoin. There goes our cell phones, our 5G towers, and Nike stock. Oh shit. And in it, verse 24, last verse of Revelation 18, the blood of the prophets and saints was found, and of all those slain upon the earth. Thus endeth Babylon, and I am gladdeth of it.